Tours. Listen, it has been an absolute pleasure. I have diligently worked on how we will deliver this message today, because unfortunately, this is such a heavy and deep topic that I couldn't deliver everything, right? But I needed to give you enough to ensure that you could move forward in power and move forward in truth. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I had to give you enough to ensure that you move forward in power and move forward in truth. Why is that? Because we already have gone through how we have been duped out of truth through our emotions. Amen. And so with that being said, Prophet Nzinga, go ahead. We can start at the top of our slide. Did we pray in? I don't know if we prayed in. Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So because we prayed in, we can go ahead and start at slide 22. I don't know if you guys can see at the end, see the numbers. I actually have 36 live. We have not touched on, even though we're going to start at 22, there are other slides in between that we just had to bypass. So, you know, the topic that we've been dealing with is the lies we tell and the truth come from this perspective. We had to address it from this perspective, because the whole idea is for us to come into the true knowledge and wisdom of the problem that God had with Adam, and it caused him to be downgraded and caused him to take on a new spirit, and also for us to understand that when we come into salvation, that there are some things that we particularly have to work out. And the first thing is our offense with our God, our offense with the requirement of salvation, our offense with truth. Okay, I'll say it again. We do not think about the fact that we are offended by truth, that truth comes to set us free, but yet we find ourselves offended. I went through different scriptures. I showed you where offense lie in scripture itself, and how even in the word, even in the scripture, Jesus Christ himself was constantly bombarded with what? Humans that were offended by his presence. All right, I'm coming out the gate. Why? Because we must continue to remember why we are doing this and the importance. Okay. With that being said, I'm going to do a very quick review. The amygdala function. So last week, this is what I brought to the conservatory for you to think about when you think about your salvation, when you think about your mind, when you think about your Christianity, when you think about your walk. Are you thinking that there is an old part of your brain that's formed in sin and shaped in iniquity? We found it in the garden. I showed you how it already existed in the garden, but I also showed you how it exists in each and every one of us. Why? Because listen, it's the oldest part of our brain. We still are Adam's seed when we are born. You must understand, we still are Adam's seed, but we have the opportunity through the blood to be transformed. Did you hear me? We have the opportunity through the blood to be transformed. Until we really understand what needs to be transformed, I guarantee you that we're only transformed but a bit. Okay, I'll give you an example. Many of us have been in Christ for over 2 years. Let's just keep it right there. But many of us have struggled with the same issues for that entire 2 years and more. Many of us could not and cannot figure out how to get set free, even though the word itself says what? That only the truth will set us free. So when we look at ourselves, okay, if the truth is we wear our shirt a little too low, right? So we change our shirt and we wear our shirt a little higher. But yet we find ourselves when we go shopping, still picking out the low cut shirt. See what I'm saying? Even though you're trying to do something different. I'm already down the line. Why? Because what I am saying to you is oftentimes the way the scripture has been introduced to us, it causes us to do behavior modification, but it doesn't cause us to change within the spirit of our mind. In other words, our consciousness of our God is not present the way that it should be. The consciousness of his kingdom is not present the way that it should be. The consciousness of our identity in his kingdom is not present. Hear me and hear me well. So therefore, you find yourself struggling inside of yourself. It's an internal struggle, guys. That's why we have to work out our own salvation, and nobody can work it out for us. That's why we have to come into the truth of Jesus Christ, because only the Holy Spirit can truly lead us into all truth, no matter what's discussed, no matter what's presented to us. Listen, it is not until we ourselves decide that we want to be free can we hear the truth and the wisdom of the scripture. Come on this morning. I'm down the road, but I'm going to bring myself back. With that being said, this is a quick review. We went through the amygdala function, which is part of the limbic system, is crucial for emotional responses, especially fear and pleasure and peace. Pleasure should be removed because I want to focus on peace, right? Even though they like to teach us, and we have heard that this was all about pleasure, I want you to think about peace becoming your new pleasure. Can you follow me on that? I want you to think about peace being your new pleasure, because if you can manage to find peace and not always want to find pleasure, then you can find the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Come on today. I just broke that whole scripture down like in a split second. Why? Because we have to come into the understanding that our emotions are high based on our pleasures, not based on our peace. Our emotions are allowed to run rampant and rule over us because we don't reside on the peace of Jesus Christ. We don't lean on the peace of his word. We don't lean on the peace of his truth. Are you hearing me this morning? Listen, emotions are seen as a crucial part of our endemic life that functions from our sin consciousness. Scripture emphasizes managing emotions with faith and wisdom. Here are wisdom keys. Take it and run with it. Take it and build on it. Take it and study it so that you can become more shored up in your faith and your belief and your trust in your king, so that you can find yourself developing the kingly seed inside of you instead of developing your sin conscious soul that only does what? It only manages darkness, but it doesn't destroy it. Hear me and hear me well. Fear in the amygdala. The Bible instructs us not to fear, but to trust in the Lord. Scriptures like Isaiah 41:10 counteracts natural fear responses with divine reassurance. Come on. This is the problem. We like to call our friends to get reinsured. But what I'm saying is your broken friend can only reinsure your brokenness. But when you call on the Holy Spirit to reassure you, I guarantee this is for you. Minister Katrina, boom, boom, boom. I guarantee when you depend on the Holy Spirit, you're going to run into truth. And what are you going to run into truth about? You. All right. Yes, I'm turning the finger back to you. Why? If you do not begin to look at yourself, if you do not begin to work on yourself, if you do not begin to figure out where your soul is and work it out with fear and trembling, you are going to find yourself on the other side, on the wrong side of God, just like Adam. Why? Because only truth about you can make you free. Only truth about you can set you free. No longer is it a season or an era or an hour for you to consult God about your neighbor. This is the hour where you must consult God about you. Why? Because we have shifted into a new era. What era? The era of the apostle. And what did the apostles do in the scripture? They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and turned people from darkness. That's where we're at, because darkness is full grown. Read your word, because scripture says when sin becomes full grown, then God comes in and takes judgment. He's going to do what he does all the time. This is his scriptural pattern. This is not Johnita's pattern. This is in the word. When sin is full grown, then Jesus himself, God the Father, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, whatever portion or whatever side you want to choose to believe in, is going to judge. Who is he judging? He's judging his church. He's judging the ones that said that they are of him. He's judging the ones that proclaim to be his sons and daughters. And so it only can come through understanding teachings like this. So if you are still riddled by fear, if you are still riddled by anxiety, if you are still allowing the Adamic brain to rule and reign over your life, I guarantee you, you cannot hear your very own father. Why? Because you're riddled. You're hiding and don't know that you're hiding. Good morning. Adam was hiding. Why was he hiding? Why are you hiding? Why are you running? Why don't you want to be bold? Why don't you want to be strong? Why don't you want to identify as a king? The king that you are. You are the heir of Jesus Christ. I want you to remember that. I no longer want you to be duped out of your salvation nor your identity. Listen, Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're back to keeping. We're back to keeping. If you study the word, you'll find that that word is used often in the scripture, that God is often watching how we keep. If he did it in the scripture, he's still doing it now. How can I say that? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His patterns don't suddenly change because we want them to. Fear in the amygdala. The Bible instructs us not to fear, but to trust in the Lord. Scriptures like Isaiah 41 and 10 counteract natural fear responses with divine reassurance. Isaiah 41 and 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So if this is what is true, if this is the truth that we can depend on, my question is, when will you lean on this truth and not the lie? When will you lean on this truth and not take offense? When will you lean on this truth and not walk in delusions? When will you lean on this truth and no longer be lukewarm? Peace in the amygdala. Peace is regarded as a divine gift in the scripture given by Jesus. John 14 and 27 highlights that peace from Jesus satisfies earthly challenges, keeping your life out of the grip of fear while protecting your heart. We're going back to keeping. What are you keeping your mind? What are you keeping your heart? Come on here. And this is a little help in case you didn't know before. This is a kingdom wisdom piece to help you keep your heart and keep your mind. According to the scripture, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. It does not say fear. It does not say anxiety. It does not say that these things I leave to you. It says peace I leave to you. My peace I give unto you. Okay, come on here. I have left it for you. I have given it unto you. Come on, we have promises. We have scripture that we can stand on. We have scripture we can pull on. And then he goes on to say, listen and listen well, because I believe many of us confuse God's peace with the world's peace. Oh, come on this morning. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. No, I have a different kind of peace. See, the world's peace is, we're not going to really deal with that issue right now, because emotionally I can't handle it. We're going to brush that issue under the rug and we're going to get back to it later. See, that's worldly wisdom. But the peace that God gives us, we can address any circumstance head first and move on down the road, because his peace has been given unto us. We have a phony sense of peace when we don't want to address issues, when we allow issues to pile up and then they crash down on us. And now we upset, and now we definitely in fear, and we definitely have induced anxiety ourselves. I want you to see the pattern, but God is telling us, listen, because you belong to me, I can work every situation out for your good. That's what scripture says. But will you stand for me? Will you come and commune with me? Will you seek me out? Will you gather my wisdom, or will you lean to earthly peace? All right. Let not your heart be troubled, neither, what does it say? Let it be afraid. Come on. I'm wearing y'all out with the word right now, because I know many of us have been crippled by fear, just like Adam. I know many of us go through our day full of anxiety, just like Adam. And just because you don't wear it on your sleeve, just because you think that you're able to mask it, doesn't mean that you have an unsettling and an unrest in your mind, in your soul, and in your spirit. But I came to tell you today that that's not your portion if you allow the word to be the truth and afford you peace. All right. Transforming the mind, Romans 12 and 2, calls for mind transformation through scripture in prayer. If you don't know the word and you don't have a prayer life, then you will be unable to align with truth. Listen. You have to know the word. You have to at least get in the word. You have to cry out to the Holy Ghost to reveal the mysteries of the word. You have to want to know God up close and personal. You have to want to draw nigh unto him as he draw nigh unto you. Then you want to have a prayer life that begins to align the information that you're getting with your thought processes, right? Aligning the amygdala responses with godly principles and promoting spiritual well-being through the rulership of governing the king in you. This is how you work out your soul salvation. This is how you move forward in Jesus Christ. This is what you need. You need to transform your mind through reading scripture and through prayer. And that is how you align your soul responses with the word of God. Godly principles and spiritual well-being cannot be produced out of the reptilian brain. Hear me and hear me well. The only thing that can be produced out of the reptilian brain is more of your emotions, which leads to more of the lies that we tell ourselves, which leads to more of the sin consciousness, which leads to more embarrassment, which leads to more shame. Yes, I introduced embarrassment and shame because many of you on the line will never say that you're embarrassed and that you're ashamed of some of your responses and behaviors and the fact that you can't control your environment and you absolutely don't know what to do because your soul is out of control. Many of you on the line will never address the fact that your soul is out of control. It's not out of control for no reason. I'm introducing to you why it's out of control, because there's a serpentine mindset that's ruling and reigning when God says, but I want to give you the mind of Christ. Why? So that that kingly seed can be watered and it begins to tread on serpents and scorpions. Why do you think he used that language? Come on. This morning. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. What mind are we renewing? I just told you. If you never thought about it before, I'm telling you that there's a whole reptilian part of your brain which affects your mind. And if you are unaware, if you are unconscious, that's why you're always tripped up and you're trying to figure out what is wrong with me. But listen, nobody's excluded. This is all of us. I told y'all we're in this together. This is why iron sharpens iron. Because we're in this together to advance the kingdom. What good does it do God if I'm the only one that understands this? What good does it do God if Nzinga's the only one that understands this? What good does it do God if Nigeria is the only one getting this? Are you hearing me today? It becomes good for God when we can preach and teach the truth of the gospel publicly without being hated, without being talked about, without being tread upon like we're the serpent, when the only thing we want to give you is truth so that you can get set free, because we ourselves are walking in a dimension of freedom that you have yet to touch. Come on this morning. Come and join us. Touch the fullness of freedom, because that is what salvation is all about. Let's go on over and Nzinga too, and I'm gonna keep track of this time. And somebody got to tell me when it's 12:45. Just listen, raise a hand, wave at me or something, okay? Because we gotta finish up today, and I wanna make sure I at least get 5 slides in. They're potent. Okay, so we reviewed this salvation versus sabotage, the truth versus the lie. These are the things that you have to examine every day. Listen, it took me examining myself little by little, second by second. I had to deal with myself until I could go to a minute. I'm not telling a lie. I'm telling you the truth of how God worked out my soul salvation inside of me for me to get his mind. Because the one thing I realized when I came back to Christ, I said, God, I'm going to fail you. I'm going to be everything I don't want to be. Why? Because clearly I'm thinking about doing right and I keep doing wrong. Okay, maybe I'm the only one, but you know what? I'm okay with telling on myself because I'm free. The Lord's logos versus vain imagination. We got to work on our vain imagination. We got to work on thinking more of ourselves than we ought to. We got to work on our humility instead of maintaining our pride. Come on. The mind of Christ versus the reptilian brain. I just broke that down a few seconds ago. Eternal wisdom versus survival instinct. Listen, we kill ourselves from day to day just trying to to survive. One of the things that I realized that I spent most of my years just surviving the abuse, surviving the neglect, surviving the wrongs, surviving everything. And then I came into the fullness of Jesus Christ and I started living. Wait a minute. I was like, wait, you said that I could have life? And then you went a little bit further. See, I don't even think many Christians make it to the life more abundantly. I think many Christians just holding on by just getting a little more oxygen called life. But I do not believe we've moved into the more abundant. Listen, because in that abundance, fear can't exist. In that abundance, anxiety doesn't exist. In that abundance, you have no issues because the peace of the Lord sustains you. Okay, that's just a little piece, but I pray that you get that seed. I'm depositing the seed that you grow into the more, that you grow into the abundance, that you begin to understand what is really promised you so that you could grab a hold of it and move more towards that, okay? God's will versus your desire. Listen, we can desire a whole bunch and we can tell ourselves a lie that this is what God wants, right? We do it all the time. I know I'm not the only one, and this is a whole tribal institute here. This is a whole scribal nation on the line. So I know I'm not the only one because our imaginations, okay, let me say, because our vain imaginations can run wild with God's idea, okay? Our vain imagination can run wild with God's idea. Okay. Gifts are without repentance. Our vain imagination can run wild with God's idea. It takes more work to sit down and sit with God and ask him how you supposed to walk this thing out. Listen, how can I even say that? Why? Because we already know that people in the church have gotten married talking about this is my husband and this is my wife, and then they acting like Adam. Why you give me this woman? Now they mad because they in a whole quagmire. Why? Because their vain imaginations ran ahead of Jesus Christ himself. Okay, I'll move on. That's a good example. Why? Because we all believe in the institution of marriage. But the problem is we don't read the scripture to understand it from his kingly perspective. And so I know without a shadow of a doubt, because I talk to a lot of people, I advise a lot of people. Listen, that's one of the major things on the plate right now with God in the kingdom. These marriages that were supposed to be kingly marriages, and they really were not, and now they're in the midst of fire. Because guess what? God is working all of our souls' salvation out, whether we want to or not, when we belong to him. Just a side point, because there was something earlier in the first part that I needed to release about marriage, but hopefully I'll do a little special and interject it. Apostle Teresa and I talked about it, and we talked about how we have to teach that piece, but it's too much. I have to teach it at a later date. But that is one of those things, God's will versus your desire. Understanding versus your ideology. Listen, we got to work on this. We got to work on our appetites and the things that we love. I posed that question last week. I asked you to think about it. Why? Because if we are honest with ourselves, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth and say, but that wasn't me, that was you. And what can we do? We can just repent and ask him to help us to heal and fix those areas. It's truly that simple. But if we never repent, if we never identify it, we're going to continue to have a problem. God's plan for the gifts he has given us, or you, all of us, versus your plans for the gifts he has given you. Listen, this is a real thing. We know that we have to clean up our gifts. I will say it again, gifts are without repentance, but you must clean them up and submit them back to God so that you ensure that you are on the path with the gift that he is giving you, and he's given us many gifts, and make sure we're utilizing the right gift. In other words, we have people that can cook, right? And they become a chef. And the whole time they in the kitchen chefing, they're preaching the gospel. But they never, ever, what? They never develop the preaching gospel part. I'm just saying. It's a lot. Chefing, yes. It's a lot of us like that. And sometimes he takes us through layers. He develops us. He allows one gift to be used. For me, he allowed my skill to do hair. He allowed that thing. But then when he shifted me into finances, that was a whole nother gift being developed. Then when he shifted me into counseling and advisement, psychology came into play. Do you understand? These are all gifts that are submitted unto my king. And every part of these things I give back to him. Just saying, it's a way to do it. All right. Let's move on, because that's the review. Let's move on to the next slide. Skip slide 24, because we're going to get right into it. Go over to slide 25. So last week, I introduced the first Adam. I said that we would deal with the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam was born of the earth, okay? Adam, I put this picture back up because I wanted you to see. Wait, I had another picture. Go back to 22 real quick. I'm sorry. I need to bring out this point. Go back to 22. One more. Okay, if you look at the bottom, I put these pictures back in because I wanted you to see what happened. Adam was with Eve and he was contemplating on eating this fruit, but he was totally and utterly upset. We went through all of the expressions on his face. The second picture going down, you see how the reptilian was starting to work in his brain, how it started working in his mind. Okay. In the last picture, which we can go back to that slide, is the fullness of sin, right? Because listen, first you can just be offended, but then you got to think on it. Then the lies have to begin. But sooner or later, the reason why I had to display this split tongue is because I want you to understand that split wisdom will come out of your mouth. Why? Because your mind itself is split. Your mind itself is split in wisdom. It's split with functioning out of kingly or scriptural or biblical wisdom. And it also is functioning out of earthly, endemic, downgraded wisdom, emotional wisdom. And it's all wrapped up in us. So if you take, and so I just wanted to show you what's behind each and every one of us. You can say, no, it's not me, but I guarantee you that it is. Why? Because scripture tells us none of us are perfect. No, not one. So for you to deny the truth, you already starting to lie. You're already offended by the truth. Why? Because you think it's not you. You can't receive the lesson. You can't hear the wisdom. That this is what we're combating against. We're not combating against an old devil sitting over in the corner at the end of our bed. You understand? These are the tales, but I'm telling you, we're battling against ourselves. The battle with Adam was within himself. In the moment that he ate, listen, what did I say? Gross darkness entered him. His mind was downgraded. Well, guess what? We're born in that downgrade. We're shaped in that downgrade. Our environment is downgraded. None of us are living in Eden. None of us are living just with God every day. I mean, that's the problem with soaking. I love the whole fact of soaking. But listen, God needs you to work. You can't sit around, Jesus is just the lover of my soul. Oh, you're just so sweet. You're just so loving. He's like, it's a whole war going on out here. Where's my warriors? Where are my truth seekers? Where are the ones that's standing and rising up against the problems that I have? Not, just looking for their pure pleasure. Oh, come on to death. See, I talked about pleasure and I said, it's better to seek his peace, because seeking pleasure may not land you in truth. All right. You'll catch it tomorrow. So anyway, I went on and, you know, listen, the reptile wrapped around the brain, the reptile symbolizes temptation and inner conflict. I want y'all to remember, temptation and inner conflict is real within your brain. It's a mental struggle. It's a mental struggle. So last week I said, let's work on our mental, right? We got to do that. If we don't do it, we're going to continue to be unsettled in our identity, right? I can't go into this the way I want to, but I do want to highlight a few things. What we can learn from this is what, and what I want you to take away from this is Adam's anxious demeanor represents the discord between his mental state and his oneness with God. And what I just talked about produces what I call AI, how I represent AI, the way God gave it to me is self-trust. Self-trust. Artificial intelligence for real. Self-trust. Scripture tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, but yet we continuously trust in our own self. We continuously trust in our own wisdom. We continuously trust in our own experience. I can't stand the phony prophets that want to tell me a word based off of their experience and feeling. That's not prophecy. So they always looking at your life and trying to find something familiar and to connect with. And then they give you a false word. And many people don't even understand that prophecy is rooted in the scripture. So they go for the false word because they're emotional and operating out of the reptilian brain anyway. Oh, come on today. Anyway, without the whole truth, you cannot receive the whole blessing. Hear me and hear me well. Without the whole truth, you cannot receive the whole blessing. So stop telling everybody that you're blessed and highly favored when you are under this kind of mindset. A mixed mind can't be blessed and highly favored, but it can be cleaned up. It can be healed. It can be delivered. It can be untangled. It can be addressed by truth. Oh, come on. This kind of mind is constantly rooted in sin consciousness. It's sin conscious. This kind of mind is the mind, what did I say when my spiritual daughter, Najia, met me and she looked at me and she said, wait a minute. She don't know God. Why? Because I got blonde hair. That's a sin for her. She was taught that because I wear lipstick. That's sin for her. She was taught that. Who thinks that way? But some sin conscious fool. Because that's foolish. Because scripture tells us, know no man by the flesh, but know them by the spirit. Oh, I'm addressing. Look, I can move on. I think y'all got it. But that's how shallow we are in our understanding of scripture. That's how shallow we are in our understanding of kingdom. That's how shallow we are in our understanding of King Jesus. That's how shallow we are in our understanding in Christ. And so within this group, I'm going to pose this question. If you think so sin conscious, I want to know how can you truly be in God's likeness and image? Because he didn't walk around living and thinking as sin conscious. He was kingdom conscious. He was about his kingdom. He was about his kingship. He was about his job. He was about his duty. Who taught you to be so conscious of other people's problems and not conscious of your kingship? All right. I'm just asking a question because I got to leave us strong. All right. Next slide, please. Here I'm introducing the last Adam. Why? Because it's important for us to understand the last Adam. This is a whole nother teaching, so I can't go but so deep, but I'm going to go deep enough for you to understand the importance. The last Adam, the difference. One of the first differences, I hope that you caught it on the last slide, it said the first Adam was born of what? Born of the earth. I want you to understand that, that the last Adam was born right here on this earth that we're living in right now. The first Adam was born right from this same dirt, which is why scripture says we all will return to this same dirt. But if you know something about the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ himself, he never returned to the dirt. He ascended. Come on here today. Read your scripture and learn of your king. Why? Because the last Adam is born of the spirit. All right, what spirit? He's born of the spirit of the Lord. He's born of the Holy Spirit. He's born of his kingly spirit. He's born of eternal spirit. Come on. And because we really don't understand this, because we really don't take the time to comprehend that there was a first Adam and there was a last Adam, because we don't understand how Jesus really got here, we're still confused in our salvation. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Hear me and hear me well. And only in that quickening spirit can you find authentic intelligence. Scriptural truth. Good morning. Good afternoon. I told you I was going to bring my gloves. This is my first gift from Apostle Teresa. And she was like, listen. And this was just out of conversation. She was like, whoa, 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 whoa. When she called me knockout, she said, listen, you be dealing with stuff in the spirit. You be dealing with stuff in the natural. I'm just calling you knockout. And so I wasn't playing when I said I was going to bring my gloves. And if you saw my Thanksgiving picture, you saw these gloves on me. Why? Because, you know, I was dealing with some stuff and I took a picture with my gloves on, me and my kids, because that's what we do. But I want y'all to understand the last Adam, born of the spirit, his authentic intelligence, which is rooted in scriptural truth, is what knocks out AI. What? What kind of intelligence? Artificial intelligence. Oh, come on. Your job is to war for your destiny in Jesus Christ. Your job is to fight the enemy that comes to steal and kill. Listen, your destiny and purpose, your inheritance. So once again, I'm going to say, why are we laying back and just, oh God, I love you today. Bless me. Listen. I said earlier on, I said what? This is not a game. This is not something. Your salvation is not something that you can just repeat some words and then it's going to appear. If that was true, then why would he say work out your own soul salvation? By the way, was fear and trembling involved in that working out? Okay. All right. I think fear and trembling was involved. I'm just saying that you are designed to fight. You are designed to war. You are designed to cause the enemy to be fearful of you. It should not be the other way. So with that being said, with the whole truth, you can receive the whole blessing. If the blessing is what you want, if the blessing of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob is what you're going after, if the blessing of Jesus Christ is what you so desire, then I suggest you to put on your gloves and start fighting and warring for your inheritance. How do you put on your gloves? Through putting on the scripture, through putting in prayer. That's your workout, prayer. Boom. Today, I function as the king that I am. Today, I receive my kingly identity. Now you're speaking in some truth, but I'm blessed and highly favored knowing that you busted and broke and disgusted. Listen, God can't do nothing with that because the spirit realm doesn't sit down and say, oh, did you really mean like you just wanted to confess something different? No, the spirit realm doesn't sit down and rearrange your words to make it right and be fitting before the king. Okay. The spiritual realm does not go through your words and rearrange them to make them befitting In other words, something that eternity, your family is in eternity, working with you. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. What words are you releasing from your mouth for him to be like, yeah, let me get with that. I could do something with that. Okay. That one wants to be free. Oh, I hear her confessing that she's a king every day. Oh, she's pulling on eternity. Because she's recognizing that she's not a mere mortal. Or he's recognizing that he's not a mere mortal. Wait a minute. Oh, now, Minister Darlene really desires my dunamis power. Now, Minister Darlene won a war like I wore. Oh, come on. Somebody will catch it tomorrow. With that being said, I'm going to leave y'all with some scripture. Why? Because I want you to not only go through these scriptures, but I want them to minister to your soul and minister to your mind so that you can find yourself in authentic intelligence and not in the artificial intelligence that perhaps you've been under. We all have been born in sin. We all have been shaped in iniquity, but we all, everyone on this line, has the blood that works on our behalf in the scripture that can work on our behalf in the Holy Ghost that leads us into all truth. So let's just start off with First Corinthians. Go to slide 27. All right. Before I get into this, I want you to listen. I was doing my best with trying to generate these AI images. I was trying to take a lesson from Apostle Tiffany's. Listen, I did my best, guys. Work with me. But I thought this one was pretty okay. This one is representing the last Adam. And one thing that I want you to think about and I want you to see is the light inside of him. I want you to remember something that we learned, or if you looked it up. I don't know if I pointed this piece out. But the amygdala is situated behind your ear. It's kind of like right here, right? And I'm not, wait. Yeah, like right about right here. And they say that it's the size of an almond, right? I want you to understand it's connected to that ear canal. What you hear, what you allow to enter in is important, which is why, listen, if you have an ear to hear, in Revelations, I mean, this is all throughout the book, but in Revelations, right? When he's speaking to the churches, do y'all wonder why scripture kept saying, but those who have an ear, let them hear. That means everybody's not going to hear. I'm just admonishing you to think about that when you decide not to hear. Are you deciding not to hear and you're considered in pure rebellion? Or are you deciding not to hear because you're not born of the seed of Christ? It's only two options right there. I love how this depicted that Holy Spirit coming from out of that ear. But if you can see the whole thing, it then goes down into the heart. The hearing in the heart, interconnecting, inner works. I'm just pointing out things. Why? Because these are the things we have to think about. Because we know what? The issues are light of life pour out of our heart. But we also know when he gives us the new heart, his word is what? Inscribed on that heart. So the issues that you should have in life should be his issues, not your own. Oh, come on. Somebody, you catch that? That's real maturity in Christ. Somebody, you catch that one day. That's how you walk as he is in this earth. You don't walk as he is doing your own thing and then trying to say it's him, because his issues become your issues. And now you know that you're in the will of God, and your will is put down just like Jesus put his will down. He said, Father, would you take this cup from me? It's bitter. And then he had to end on, but if your will be done, thy will be done. He went on down the line. He had to put that cup down. He was focusing on the pain that he was feeling. He was focusing on the dissatisfaction. He was focusing on the situation. And when his father did not respond, because he understood his father, see, earthly wisdom said, oh, my father ignored me. Oh, such a bad parent. No, his father said, I know what I put inside of you, and you already know what's expected of you. Either do it or don't. But I have nothing to say on the matter. I'm going to see how you work this out. He's doing that to us every day, but we don't even read that far into the scripture, because we don't study the word to learn and know of the kingdom or the king and his lifestyle. We study the word to please ourselves, back to that personal pleasure. All right. Hopefully that gives you some kind of peace. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. And so it is written, Okay. 1 Peter 1 and 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Listen, what am I saying? The last Adam affords us to be born again of incorruptible seed. I have heard Apostle Teresa teach on this, so I don't have to reteach this, because she teaches on this, especially during Resurrection Sunday time. Season. Why? Because it's important for us to understand that we are born of incorruptible seed. That means that that reptilian mind should no longer be the governor of that seed. And the only way you're going to live that out is if you identify as a king. I'm going to leave that right there, because that's a whole nother teaching. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I keep saying the same thing. Listen, the word of God lives and it abides forever. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It's not changing. So I'm admonishing you to get in your scripture and begin to be born of the spirit like the last Adam, so that you can win your salvation fight, so that you are not just knocked out by the what? First Adam. Ooh, come on here today. John 3 and 3, Jesus replied, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is what? Born again. You're not born again, and you can't see the kingdom of God if you cannot see yourself, if you cannot see where you are not connected to your God. Adam knew he was no longer of the spirit of God, which is why he hid. I'm gonna leave that right there. You study it out for yourself and take it further. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is living and active. For the word of God is living and active. So if the word of God is living and active, I want to know how fear, anxiety, shame, embarrassment, I don't know, any of these things. I want to know, how can they live? And if they are living, then you must understand the picture on the previous screen that showed one side functioning out of reptilian brain and one side functioning out of the original plan of God coexist. Which is why God said, I don't like lukewarm. It upsets me, and I'm going to spew it out. I'm just sharing the word, okay? Listen, for the word of God is living and active. It works on your behalf. It addresses issues. It can help you out in situations. You don't have to lean on the reptilian brain. You don't have to lean on your emotions. You don't have to lean on your past. You don't have to make up a lie. But you must, if you're going to do it God's way, you must allow it to be living and active and working. Sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces even dividing soul and spirit. Something's going on in your soul and something's going on in your spirit. I just gave you the depiction, but God is here and he's available to divide it for us. Why? So that we can say, wait a minute, that's my endemic spirit response, and this is my kingly response. Now, which one am I going to live in? Which one is truth? Which one am I going to function out of? Which one am I going to lean towards, right? So he says, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Come on here. If you know anything about the marrow, what? All of your DNA is found in your marrow, is it not? all of your DNA. So whose DNA is functioning? Oof. It judges the thoughts. It judges the intentions of the heart. See, you can't fool God. You only fool yourself. But God is looking. So if your intentions was to elude truth by not having the real necessary conversation, God's like, I got you. I see you. And you will also have the judgment rendered with that. If your whole thing was, listen, I know I'm called to be a teacher, but I'm not ready to teach. Let me do it when I'm comfortable and ready to do it. God's like, okay, I got you. You don't want to live in truth. You want to live in fear. More fear shall you have. Come on here today. We don't want to address God as the sovereign God that he is. We don't want to treat him like the sovereign God that he is. We don't want to believe his rulership like the sovereign God that he is. And I'm not talking about condemnation right now. I'm talking about commands and regulation. And that's the difference. Because the body of Christ, anytime you start talking about the rulership of God, now he wants to say that you're condemning it. No, I'm not condemning it. What I'm saying is the kingdom of God has commands. And you better make sure that you understand the commands before you say it. Somebody's condemning you. Make sure you understand the commands and understand how they're supposed to be walked out. So what am I saying? There's information, knowledge that you don't quite understand because you're not mature. But what we're saying is in this hour, you must become mature because we have a war to win. We have babies going to hell. Their lives are not even, listen, their lives don't even have a chance. Why? Because we got same-sex marriages going forth. And where's the body of Christ fighting this? We got men who look like women on the outside and women who look like men on the outside, and they're procreating, creating a confused seed from the beginning. How are we going to combat that? What's our solution to that? Oh, come on. I'm just talking about the things that's on the heart of my king. And if you have the same king, then you would understand that his whole kingdom runs on what? Souls. Souls that belong to him. So if we are not doing the work that we need to do to get our souls right so that we truly can minister the gospel of truth in the gospel of grace connected, because Moses ministered what? The law, but Jesus Christ himself ministered truth and grace. So it's not just that we're under his grace, we're under his truth in companionship with truth. There's no mercy without truth. There's no grace without truth. What am I giving you mercy and grace for? He says, my grace is sufficient. What is it sufficient for? For you to continue to sin and do the same thing and make reptilian decisions? Or is his grace sufficient for you to work out your soul salvation and put down old behaviors and begin to spank like an adult because you're no longer a child? Oh, come on. I got to wrap this up. James 1 and 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruit of his creation. Are you a kind of a first fruit? Where's your evidence? Because last week I said what? The scripture told us what to prove ourselves. Where's your evidence? This is scripture. Argue with God, don't argue with me. He chose you. He gave you something. He gave you the word of truth. And he said, through it, what? I should be able to pull on a first kind of fruit. I should be able to pull on you to walk in truth. I should be able to pull on you to be my pillar. I should be able to pull on you to be my stronghold. I should be able to pull on you to dispense into the world my life. Okay. 1 John 3:9. Anyone born of God refuses to practice sin. Anyone born of God refuses to practice sin. Remember I talked about these? Fighting for your inheritance, refusing to participate with sin, refusing to take sin on, refusing for sin to be your appetite. And I'm not talking religiously, I'm talking intellectually. Because this is a whole fight in one's mind, in one's brain, in one's heart, in one's soul. And it takes intelligence. What kind of intelligence? Kingdom intelligence, eternal intelligence, scriptural intelligence, in order to ensure your win. Anyone born of God refuses to practice sin because God's seed. Why? It tells us why. Remember we said last week, the world always asks, what's your why? Well, the reason why I, Janita Collins, don't practice sin is because I have a whole king. Listen, I got a whole kingly seed inside of me. And I want to protect that seed. I birthed kingly seeds. And I want to protect those seeds as they grow up. I don't want the reptile to be able to come and swoop up on my people at just, I don't feel good today. I got a headache. And now whole identity is going out the window. It's that easy, guys. You know it and I know it. It's that easy to forget your identity. So anyone born of God refuses to practice it. So now if you're going to be conscious about sin, you're being conscious not to practice it, not conscious to point it out and everything. Oh, come on today. Because God's seed abides in you. I'm talking to you today. I'm not going to say him. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you, Minister Chiquita. I'm talking about you, Minister Katrina. I'm talking about you, Minister Sam. I'm talking about you, Minister Darlene. I'm talking about you, Sade. I'm talking about you, Apostle Teresa. I'm talking about you. Who else is on the line? Bernadine. I'm talking about you, Marion. I'm talking about you, Minister Paul. I'm talking about you, Joey. Listen, I'm talking about you. Make it personal. God's seed abides in you. So you cannot go on sinning because you have been born of God. You have been born of God. If you're on this line, you have declared that you are born of God. I'll say it and I'll say it again. It's absolutely no reason to participate in any religious institute, whether it's the conservatory, a traditional church, or whatever. It's no reason to come to hear the gospel if transformation is not your purpose. He didn't say, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, because he was saying, don't stop hanging out with one another. He said, don't stop hanging out with one another, because iron sharpens iron, and you guys are each other's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. And so you will see the enemy coming sometimes when your brother can't see the enemy coming. Are you hearing me? I'm talking to each and every one of you. Why? Because it's important for me to reinforce that your identity must be found in Christ Jesus. It's important for me to reinforce that, listen, God has an expectation of you. And because you have an expectation of him, he should be able to pull on you. I'm going to end with this scripture, and I pray that it blesses you and blesses you well. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, we can choose to walk this walk out endemically, or we can choose to walk this walk out as the last Adam. Decide which side of this you wanna be on. Are you the first Adam, or are you the last Adam, or are you a hybrid of the two? Either way, God has said right here, his mercy. Earlier, I talked about his grace. is available want for us to work out our soul salvation and to stop being sabotaged by the reptilian brain that's old as dirt. The very dirt Adam came from is older than that, ancient. So his wisdom is deep. His tricks are old. But Jesus Christ's power, dunamis power, is stronger. And his grace is available for each and every one of us to work out our soul salvation so that we can what? Be the true AI. Authentic intelligence, scriptural truth is our portion as the last Adam, born of the Spirit, has afforded us to be born of the same Spirit, born of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. I bless each and every one of you. I pray that this made sense. I pray that it brought it all together. And that is it. It was really a joy and a pleasure working with you. May your increase, may the truth be your portion, may increase be your lot, may your soul begin to develop in a way that you've never seen before. May you be strengthened by the joy of the Lord. May anxiety and fear be broken off of you and no longer your portion. May you not intake that. May you not repeat it. May even the moments when the enemy would want you to pronounce that over yourself, may this message come up in your mind. May something that I have, some scripture that I've taught come back up in your mind that you begin to call yourself who you are a whole king. And if nobody else told you that, I'm telling you today. And Jesus loves you because he created you and he chose you before the foundations of this earth. God bless you. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins.
My God, my God, my God. I pray that you all were blessed by this message. Listen, and I pray that it's all coming together. Before we forget, I want to remind you that today is a rarity in what we do here in the conservatory. This doesn't happen often, but I'm going to ask you to consider sowing into Apostle Johnita's life concerning this message, simply because of the depth of this message, the heart of this message, the scope of this message, and what I know God wants to harvest from it. So I believe her information has been posted in there. Yes, Cash App, the Dominion Air. So feel free to do that. This is not our norm, but we're doing this today because of the depth of this message. Listen, we've learned a lot. And my prayer is that each and every one of us will walk away with a plan to change. One of the highlights of today was, listen, to be transformed. That's the word that should be used in this conversation, not change, but transformation, metamorphosis. What's critical is that we not only entered the wrap up, but I want you to pay close attention to every tool that was given today to describe to us how to walk this out. This is very important. This is the message of how. And if you haven't understood it, you may say, I already have a prayer life, or you may say, I'm already reading my scriptures. You may say, but remember, one of the questions that came today was, can you say, this is me? Can you say I'm a hybrid? Can you say I'm fully in the reptilian brain? Can you say this is where I am? Can you admit that? And listen, some of us, it's very obvious that this is where we are. We don't even have to go into a prayer closet to find out. We just have to acknowledge it before God and say, here I am, God. And then we go through these instructions that we've been given. You'd heard her talk about the importance. I'm not gonna go through every one of them, but she went through the prayer life. She went through saying the right things. She talked, I mean, not the right things, but saying the scriptural things and living that life. And we can go back and we can listen to the other messages. I'm going to ask that the real quick before we get off the line, that the whole chain of messages be posted. I'm pretty sure Sade has done that, but I want to make sure that you guys have access to it so you can copy and paste these links and you can go back and listen. But today's message really wrapped everything up and brought us where we need to be. Now, I'm just going to highlight a few things that jumped out at me. There's a lot, but we don't have time for that kind of recap. But the number one is what she said at the end. She said, he chose you. He gave you something. And can he pull that from you? He chose you. He gave you something. Can he pull that from you? These are things for us to think about. Are you fighting for your inheritance? Listen, we have to stand before God and say, God, I've not been fighting like I should. I've not been fighting really at all in some areas. I've not been using the language you have given me. I'm continuously using the language that I learned from the world. I'm continually using the language of my reptilian mind. These are the type of declarations that we have to make before God in those intimate places and really allow Holy Spirit to come for us as we come for God. Early on in her teaching, she talked about pursuit. So as you listen to the replay, the tools given today really lay out what pursuit looks like. I love one thing that has been carried through all of these messages, and it's very, very, very true. No one can do this for you. No one. What are you going to decide today? I love this little nugget also. Our soul can manage sin, but it cannot destroy it. Oh, I had to bring that out. When you're in survival mode, you're in management mode. So very important. That for me was a nugget because we have to find out where we are, correct? And listen, there's no shame in this. This message is not about that at all. It's about the cleanup, and it's about us obtaining God's best. God's best so we can be the best for God, so that he can make use of us. Oh, my goodness. There are some other things where we learn how to, when we learn how to stop being managers, and we can learn how to be leaners. Those are relying on the understanding of the Spirit. She also said, depending on Holy Spirit brings us to truth and working on ourselves, because that's something only that we can do. Now, I'm going to say this today because today's message helped us understand how to work on ourselves. We know this. We have it in theory. We have it in ideology. We have it in a line and a sentence and a bulleted list. But listen, that dependence looks differently in relationship to the message that we receive today. I just want to say to you, don't refuse anything that God has placed in your hand. That's that reptilian brain at work. And some of us are so bound by that. I love what she said earlier. This, I believe this message, and it's been mentioned, is specifically grace for this group. I believe it has addressed everything that needs to be addressed concerning this group. If you have the ears to hear, I'm not going to try to pronounce that word because it's not going to come out, but that organ that's behind the ear, or in that vicinity of the ear, that whole analogy about how that works with those who have an ear, let them hear. You know the paraphrase that I just gave, you know that scripture all through the book of Revelation. So the last thing I'm going to say to you is please go back and look at what she shared about how fear is formed. It's the management of the soul that we create instead of letting God manage us or teach us how to enter into his peace, right? And when we can't do that, our whole inner being, our whole nefesh becomes deeply darkened by our own management structures. Oh my God, that was a revelation to me. And it's pent up in our bodies. And I want you to understand that sickness, disease, pain, I want you to understand that. I believe that if you take the message from these past 5 weeks now, These Bible studies, these messages from the last weeks, if you really take them as prescriptions, and listen, taking them as prescriptions. She said earlier, stop being offended at the person, or because that's not important. Stop being offended. Because any offense now is because we're offended at the word. We pray for the eyes of our understanding to be open. But when they are open, are we going to receive or are we going to reject? Are we going to receive or are we going to reject? A way to receive is anything, listen, anything that you can do today that's different from your normal reptilian pattern. With the Lord, let him point that out. Oh my gosh, she said, we learn about the serpentine mindset so that we can tread upon serpents and scorpions with the mind of Christ. I love that scripture that came to mind while she was sharing Beelzebub cannot cast out Beelzebub. Baal cannot cast out Baal. Asheroth cannot cast out Asheroth. Talk about a house divided. So listen, this is all about the right kind of management. The right kind of management is that Holy Spirit is managing. The Lord is managing. I will say this, and I'm done because I have to go. But I will say this to you. There are no excuses. If we're able to go back and walk through this message from the beginning, you will come to the same realization that I know others on the line have come today. This isn't just good information. It's not just the application of knowledge. What we received today was a depth of understanding that God wants to release to us. That we can not only release the dross, but we can uncover the things that we have avoided or eluded. Because there's a lot of eluding in the midst of the conservatory. And as we know, that's all of us. We can, you know, but it begins with us. Let's make use and make truth of the word God has spoken. Listen, I pray that God blesses each and every one of you on today. She's already prayed. We're not going to go back and do that. She's already declared. We're not going to go back and do that, but I hope you go back and you posture yourself, rend your clothes like they did in the old covenant. One of the things I loved about the old covenant, they knew how to rend themselves. The act of rending, ripping your clothes off, the whole concept of ashes. Oh my goodness. Mourning. Not that kind of mourning. I'm talking a mourning for the things of God, a righteous mourning. I believe that's where we're at.